Our Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's kind of been all on this weekend. For those who haven't caught up, Gemma Joy was born 10:15 Friday morning. And all seems to be going well in Wellington as a result. For those who don't know, that's our grandchild. And of course then in the evening, Kay was priested along with Deborah. And it was just great, the number of people who went and were part of that celebration. I think we got to about 27 or so folk who went. So that was cool, it was great. But the church was packed right out, and it was just awesome. So today is Palm Sunday. And on this Palm Sunday, I want us to look at how Jesus showed what was important and what was not. What was his scale of values? What was the thing in there that helped him to keep balance and for us to do the same? This ride into Jerusalem was a critical journey, and it's one that we celebrate today, but it was misunderstood by those who cheered and those who criticised. A bit awkward when both sides of the argument don't actually understand what it's all about, do they? Jesus was journeying towards the cross, and on that day no one could have guessed it. His heart was breaking as he sighted the cities. He came across the hill, and there lay before him was this glorious sight. And he weeps, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers, how often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings. But you wouldn't let me. And now look, your house is abandoned and desolate." Jesus had constantly challenged his hearers to make a choice. He said once, "Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasure in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. No one can serve two masters. You'll hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money." I wonder how often have we been caught between two opposing choices. There are times whereabouts I've had this conflict where I've said, "Well, I actually don't like the choice I've made. That's because I didn't want to not do the choice that I didn't make." Any others? Is that familiar? Kind of have so many good things, but then sometimes they're not, are they? There's self-centered pleasure and a clear conscience. That can be a tussle sometimes. Self-indulgence, that extra cream cake. And good health. Laziness and success. Doing your own thing and serving God. However, we do like to try and possess two things that exclude each other, and it will always fail. A choice must be made. If I want to be both easygoing, taking life as it comes, and a success in my chosen interest or work, I must choose between them and let my desire for one be given a lower priority to my devotion to the other. Between a covetous, self-indulging, superficial life and a devout, unselfish service to God in his cause, there can be no satisfactory compromise. We cannot do both. Our heart's real treasure will be in one place or the other. And there will always be a range of things that capture our interest. A monochrome life would be really boring. Although sometimes there may be moments whereabouts boring would be good. But can you imagine if everything was just black and white everywhere? There was a film, trying to think, Pleasantville? Was it Pleasantville? Whereabouts it all starts off in black and white because everything was black and white, just boring. But God created us diverse. And he said, your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek God's kingdom above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. That's the rub, isn't it? Only one thing can be first. The cause of God is kingdom, says Jesus, and all others are secondary. This doesn't mean that good things are excluded. Health, comfort, recreation, money, family are all honoured and are important to God. And I think sometimes when we've spoken of some of these things, you come away feeling that maybe God was against them all. But no, he's not. But even when it costs, the kingdom alone must be put first. I wonder what this will mean for you and the choices you make. Jesus tells a story about a banquet. The host sends out invites, and in due time he lets them know that all is ready. But they all began making excuses. One said, I have just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I have to go and try them out. Please excuse me. Another said, which I think probably was the highest excuse of the lot, I just got married, so I can't come. Now we know the rest of the story. The master was angry and invites the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And none of those first invited will even get the smallest taste of my banquet, he says. Now, were those who refused the invitation wrong? Well, actually, no, they weren't. Their business and family commitments was commendable. The problem was that they were so completely preoccupied with on the balance of things, with lesser things, that the more important things were crowded out. The warning is that you can so easily dispense with the important by the urgent and with what appears necessary, and as a result, great things are lost. You'll remember the parable of the sower who went to sow seeds, and it's landed in a variety of soils, Matthew 13. Think of the sower that fell among the thorns. The seed found the ground preoccupied and so was crowded out. Now, the soil was good. I mean, why else would the weeds have grown? The soil was good. But the tragic failure is often caused by excessive busyness, not necessarily with unworthy things, but with less worthy things. Until our prayer life, our trust in God, the depth of our life as a Christian, our unselfishness are choked and died. Schiller says that you can tell an artist by what he or she leaves out. The painter does not crowd everything into the picture, but rather chooses a central dominant feature and everything else is secondary to it. It is part of the layers that are made. I wonder, are you, am I? Are you living your life with a true sense of proportion? You don't have the time or the strength for everything. Are you putting first things first? We need to apply this to our finances and material resources, our social standing, and the things we take pleasure in, because they are all competitors against what is central in our life. When we think of the things which Jesus put first, we find that he put relationships and the call of God above all else. In fact, there's no real separation between those two things in him. Wealth, stuff and possessions did not compare with this for him. On another occasion, Jesus tells the story of a rich man who does so well that he needs to build bigger barns to store more stuff in. His plan was then to take it easy and party up and have a fine life. Luke 12. The man in this story misses the point. He trusts in his wealth. Let me hasten to add that wealth is not wrong in itself. It's what we do with it that becomes the issue. For this man, it was his treasure, and he is called foolish. The gathering of stuff might feel good in the short term. I mean, how many of us go and buy something when, you know, we're feeling down? My observation is the chocolate company does really well. But let it take over, and what is more valuable, you will find you'll get into trouble. For Jesus, the lives of people were indescribably valuable. He said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep. And they know me, just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. No sacrifice was too great to bring people, including you and me, into his kingdom. We always sacrifice our secondary values to our primary ones. Jesus was willing to make any sacrifice to save people. Money, comfort, pleasure, his own earthly existence. He would surrender anything if it would help bring people to know the yes and the welcome of God and restore their relationship with him. To him, the life of people was holy ground. All sin, shame, and guilt was a sacrilege. He felt all injustice done to people to be a violation of a sacred place. He considered any price worthwhile to protect and redeem the lives of people. See, no person can be really neutral. In Luke 11, Jesus says, anyone who isn't with me opposes me. And anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. A great war is on between Christ and the Antichrist, and the battlefield is in you and around you. Your thoughts and actions inevitably are taking sides. I wonder, have you settled the matter once and for all as to which side you are on, with all your strength, with all your will, with all that makes you you? Have you deliberately put God in his cause and his kingdom first? And on that Palm Sunday, that first Palm Sunday, Jesus was making a choice. He could have run. He could have been anywhere else. But he chose that day to head for Jerusalem. It was part of the final journey. Those same crowds that shouted Hosanna with great energy. So it seems, only a matter of hours later, were calling crucify. They had not chosen, but Jesus had. He had a basis upon which he would make that decision, and it always was to seek his Father's will, to seek the kingdom first, and all else would then be addressed. Father, we thank you that your Son Jesus heard your call, responded to your call, and followed and pressed forward in obedience. Help us as we look at our life to put all that we do into the scales. And help us to make the choice of letting your kingdom and your cause have priority. And as we then face all the other choices, that it's measured against it. And we thank you that the things that are important, like family and health and working well and bringing resources to give, are all given on trust. And you bless them. Not for our selfish gain, but always so that we might be a blessing to others. So guide us and help us, we pray. In the name of Jesus, whose character we set out to embrace. Amen.